Father and our King. Thank you for bringing us together as your church this morning. Father, thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. We've gotten to the month of October, and this morning we want to look back at your goodness in spite of all the challenges that we have and might have faced, and we want to say thank you. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the strength that you provide for us when things are difficult. Thank you because even though we go through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with us. Thank you because when we pass through the waters, they do not overcome us. Thank you that when we go through the fire, it does not consume us. Father, we honor you. And we say this morning, we love you. And we say a big thank you once again. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's be seated for a moment. Just going to move this out of the way. But amen and amen. This morning I was just thinking to myself about how the year has been, just reflecting, and I just realized that God has done a lot for us as a church. Obviously, there are times that when you start the year, you have these New Year resolutions that you want to achieve sometimes. I want to do this. I want to do that. We want to achieve this, which is great. Then by the time it gets to July sometimes, if you remember those New Year resolutions, you now bring them down because they're out of the 10. It's like, okay, manage my expectations. So you bring them down to like 6. And you're like, you know, then when it gets to October, like we're in now, from your list of 10, you now, you know, maybe reduce it a bit. So by thinking all things, whether we achieve all our New Year resolutions or not, we realize that God is good and God is always working in the background. And irrespective of what we expect, we need to realize that God knows what your expectations are. He knows what you need. He knows what you want. So he's not just saying, go along, try your best, and just go through this life by yourself. No. So the timings the timings of God might not be exactly how we want it to be. The things that we go through life might be unexpected and they might not be palatable. Do you understand? God knows all things, but one thing is this. God has promised that irrespective of where you are, irrespective of what your expectations are, irrespective of what life is taking you through, good and maybe sometimes not so good, God is with you all the time. So you can take comfort in that. All right, so we've been looking at a series, which I will continue this morning, but taking a slightly different twist to it. So we've been looking at a series called What Really Matters in This Life? What Really Matters in This Life? And it was sort of like a time for us to pause as individuals and even as a church, and to think about the things that really matter. So what do I mean by that? You know, there's so many things that we want to do in this life, and a lot of them are valid. We want to achieve this thing by next year, by that. All those things are good, and I think we should strive to want to achieve all the things we want to achieve. But in doing those things and in looking forward to those things, or in looking to achieve those things, we need to ask ourselves the question all the time. This thing that I'm pursuing, even though it's good, in the context of eternity, does it really matter? And even if it matters, in the context of our relationship with Christ, does it really matter? Does it draw us away from Christ? Does it even if it doesn't draw us away from Christ, does it take the time that we should spend with Christ away, or does it reduce that? Do you understand? So I think it's a time that we just need to take stock and just prioritize all the time. I mentioned last week, John chapter 17, verse 3. Before I just summarizing from last week. John chapter 17, verse 3. Some people were talking to Jesus and they were asking him all sorts of questions. The Bible doesn't detail out all the questions that they were asking him. But I figured that they might have been asking him, Jesus, what do I need to do to be a good Christian? This thing I want to achieve. I have this investment idea in mind. I have this, and, you know, my kids are asking this question. And they were asking him all these questions, valid questions. But Jesus came up with this answer in John chapter 17, verse 3. It says, now, after all has been said and done, it says, now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. So Jesus refocused their minds to say, look, irrespective of what it is you want to achieve, which might be valid, realize that one thing is important, and it is the beginning of eternal life, that you and I make knowing Jesus our priority. When I was reading this verse, I said, Jesus said, now this is eternal life. I had thought that eternal life starts when we get to heaven. I thought that, well, one day I'll get to heaven and I won't have to pay council tax and all these things. I won't have to call the electricity people and say, why are my bills so high? Why have you charged me so much for gas and electricity? None of that. All that will be over. Then I can begin proper eternal life. But no, Jesus said that eternal life starts now on earth here. And that eternal life is you and I knowing him. You and I knowing him. So that was what we looked at last week. If you want to listen to the full message, the audio is on our website. Today, I'm going to look at something slightly different. And still in context here, on that what really matters in this life. And the subtopic I'm looking at today is something I've called the thing about isolation. The thing about isolation in the life of an individual. Stay with me this morning and we'll look at the life of this man as an example in the Bible called Elijah. But the two main scriptures that we are going to be reflecting on as the basis for this, for what we're looking at this morning, the first one is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. So we'll keep these two scriptures in mind. It says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I want us to keep that scripture in mind. We'll come back to it from time to time. Now, the other one that we want to bear in mind is from the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. This details out what the early church was doing. It details out how we should live as believers. The things that, apart from our everyday life and the things we do, the core components of our walk as believers together. And that's from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And I'll read. This was describing the early church. It said, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many signs and wonders performed by the apostles. All believers together had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions and gave to one another, to everyone who had need. They continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of people. And the Lord added to their number those who had been saved. So these two scriptures highlight a very important point that I'm going to make in today about coming together as believers for example, coming together on a Sunday like this, coming together to have prayer meetings. We have events. We have events for women where the women gather together. We have events for men where the men gather together just to get to know one another. I remember the last men's event that we had. It was a bowling event. And we went to one bowling place not too far from here. And I think I've been bowling a couple of times. And I said, okay, this would be a good one. Then the guys got together and I was like, at least today when I bowl, I will show my bowling skills. Then one of the brothers turns up and we're like, oh, so do you know how to bowl? He said, oh, no, I've never bowled before in my life. So I said, okay, no problem. At least, obviously, I didn't say this out loud. I said, at least I'll thrash someone today. Pastor is not going to be like, you know. So I do this with these games. Even when we're playing Monopoly at our house, I always want to win. I win most of the times, but not all the time. Actually, it depends on who's playing. Actually, I lose quite a lot. So I was like, I mean, this will be, and lo and behold, this individual that said he's never played in his life, he thrashed all of us. So I was like, bro. All right, bro. Are you sure you didn't go and practice for 3 months before this event? So what am I saying here? The Bible says that we should meet together as believers. And you might say, what's the big deal? If I don't turn up in church on a Sunday, there are other people there. I'm just going to relax. If I don't turn up for the prayer meeting, there are people there. If I don't turn up for the men's, women's events, I'm busy. I have other things I need to do. At least people can sort themselves out. I won't be missed. But what I want to show us this morning is you have a very crucial part to play in the life of the person who is sitting next to you. You have a very crucial part to play in the life of the church. Do you understand? Now, for me, I'm not one that, you know, tells people, attend church on Sunday, or I'm messaging you. Where are you? We haven't seen you for 30 years. No. When I do that, it's out of concern. So, I mean, yeah, people are tired sometimes. People have work that they have to go to that they don't attend. So I'm not one that pushes people to say, attend, attend, attend. But I think once in a while like this, I need to bring to our knowledge why you should attend. Not just for you sometimes, but for the other person. So when the Bible says in Hebrews that we've left, so just read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, saying, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. God knew what he was saying when he put that scripture there. And you might read it and it's like, what's the big deal? I mean, yeah, I will make it when I can. But no, it goes a lot deeper than that. And we'll look at the story of a man in the Bible called Elijah. And I will bring out some points. And what am I trying to do to this? I'm trying to just highlight a number of things to you and to me about isolation, the dangers of isolation. And the truth of the matter is this: you and I will face isolating situations all the time. You and I, by default, will want to stay away from people when we're trying to process things, which is fine when you're trying to process something, but you and I want to take, advantage of what Christ says we should do in those situations. So it's not just you turning up on a Sunday and it's like, well, I mean, at the end of the day, I just take tea and biscuits and I'm not in the choir. I don't, you know, do, you know, so, you know, but really, your presence is important. And I'll explain why. I pray God will help me to be able to explain. So we'll look at the story of this man called Elijah from the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm going to read from verses 1 to 9. It's a long read, but I'll bring out some points from there. So Elijah, background, was a prophet of God. He was very well known. He brought revival to the nation of Israel. Everybody had turned away from God. Everybody was doing whatever it was they wanted to do. Elijah came on the scene and set things straight. In fact, he called fire down from heaven. I mean, can you beat that? Can you imagine? Imagine I send out an ad on Facebook and Instagram, and I say, "Oh, you Bristolians, today on Saturday, what's next Saturday? 25th. Next Saturday, the 25th. Enough of this. Is Jesus the way? Is this other way? You know, enough of that. Meet me at Cabot Circus in front of that place that is still like really nice." Okay, that's not what I meant. I was going to say nice food, that when you're doing evangelism, the food just distracts you. No, not that place. Right in front. I said, meet me there, and I'm going to call fire down from heaven. If fire falls from heaven, then you guys know that Jesus is Lord. Everybody gathers. The whole place is packed. Everybody's like, what's going to happen here? Everybody, you know, the place is jammed. You have police there. They're like, you know, please keep the traffic moving, keep the traffic moving. And right there and then, 3 o'clock on Saturday, I say, God, everybody's here. Let fire fall from heaven. And everybody sees fire falling from heaven. What do you think will happen? Man, I would trend on Instagram. They will do like special t-shirts, Pastor B, fire. Then they'll do all those mimes that they do, fire, fire. I mean, everybody will want to see what is happening here. So Elijah brought back that kind of revival. Mightily used of God. This was a man that knew God. He heard the voice of God. So this wasn't someone that was just a random believer somewhere that just... No, he was a man that had experienced God. He was a man that God had done amazing things through. Now, why am I making this point? I'm making this point because even though he knew God, even though he was excelling in his relationship with God, he took something for granted. And I'll read First Kings chapter 19, 1 to 9. I'll read it now. It says, now after Elijah had done all these things, it says, now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, may the gods deal with me, be it severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life that like one of them. So after he had done that, someone sent a threat to him that you're a dead man, Elijah. A threat. And that threat that this person sent to him, if you look at the context of the threat, it was just simple words. This was a man that had called fire down from heaven. Then the king's wife, Jezebel, sends a threat, maybe a text message, I'm going to deal with you. So he gets this text message, and he reads the text message. Now, what do you think should have happened? You should have just like, yeah, right, what is this person talking about? No. That text message that he read triggered something in him. And Elijah said, look, I've had enough. I'm just going to go to be by myself. Then we read on. It says in verse 3, Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. When he came to Bathsheba in Judah, he left his servant there. So he says he was afraid and he began to, you know, run away, so to speak. He got to a point and the person that was his assistant, he said, look, don't message me, don't call me, I'm offline, you stay here. Elijah leaves his servant there and now carries on. Now, verse 4 of 1 Kings 19, he said, while he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, Elijah begins to isolate himself. He says, he came to a broom bush and sat down under it and prayed that he might die. How does an individual get to this point where someone sends you a threat, you isolate yourself from your friends, and the next thing that this individual is thinking is having suicidal thoughts? Someone who knew God so much, how did he get there? How did he get there? Now, he now goes on and he now begins to say, I've had enough, Lord. And now he begins to tell God, I've had enough. I have had enough. And he said, take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. This chap was so exhausted, he fell asleep. And he says, then he lay down and fell asleep. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, and he was strengthened by the food. He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. So we see Elijah isolating himself more and more. First, he leaves his servant behind. Then he goes on a journey by himself into the wilderness. I'm not quite sure what he thought he would be doing there. Then an angel of God comes, feeds him, and he goes further to isolate himself. He says he goes into a cave. So today we're looking at the question of isolation for you as a believer and for the person who is the believer beside you or the person who is in church with you. Now, I come to this point where in the same 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9, I'll read and I'll stop the story of Elijah here. He said, he went into a cave and he spent the night. And this is the part I want us to pay attention to as well. The word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? So God came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Now, if you read further in that 1 Kings chapter 19, God now, in his isolation, encourages him. He steps out of it and he goes back to his life. So what's the point I'm making here? If God had not come to Elijah and asked him the question, what are you doing here? Or if God had not personally come to encourage him, what would have happened to Elijah? I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure he'll have killed himself. But his life will have spiraled, I think. He will have been stuck in that cave. And his life, purpose, everything that God had planned that he would do, terminated. So we begin to see something here about the question of isolation. The truth of the matter is this: there are two protagonists in this story that I've left. I say protagonists. I went to watch a play. Okay, let me not go there. So there are two protagonists in this portion of scripture. There's the person who is in isolation, who's going through a challenge. And there's the person who encourages a person in isolation to come out of that isolation. You and I, at different points in our life, we move between these two roles. What do I mean by that? There are times that you are thinking about a number of things and you're like, man, I'm just tired. I've had enough of this. And in that point, at that point, you are the protagonist, number one, like Elijah. Protagonist number two in this context was God, who encouraged Elijah out of it. I remember, there's this weekly meeting that I attend of pastors in Bristol, or leaders, church leaders in Bristol. Thursday morning, 7 o'clock, we meet together, we pray, someone shares the word and encourages you. Just, it's like a fellowship thing online. Sometimes we meet in person. And I've been part of that, active in that group for a couple of years now. Then over the past few weeks, I just said to the coordinator, I'm on honeymoon. I'm not attending for the next 6 weeks or whatever. Because sometimes they'll get me to share. So I was like, I don't want to think about anything. I've gone to Canada. My brain is tired. And I was meant to go back last Thursday that passed. And the thought that came to me, I was like, oh man, Pastor B, you need a break, man. Take one more week. I said, no, Pastor B, you are not going to take one more week. You're going to attend that meeting. You will go to your laptop, join that Zoom call, attend that meeting. So that's how I talk to myself. And I did that. And as I logged on, some of them made fun of me a bit. They said, oh, you're back now. Someone said, oh, what's that hairstyle you've got? That haircut you got, is it your wife that recommended? Those guys, they just joke. I was like, look, is this the kind of thing you're meant to be telling? This is my first time back in a few weeks. But they were just joking, and the meeting started. And the person that was sharing that day, he spoke about a number of things, and it was as if all the questions that I had in my mind for the past 2 weeks, he answered every single thing. I was like, what is going on here? What is going on here? So I now realize that, man, I'm not going to be missing this meeting again. Now, what point am I making here? The point I'm making here is this. You and I have two roles that we play in our lives. You can be the protagonist number one who needs encouragement, but you isolate yourself. You might be protagonist number two who is the person that offers encouragement, but you isolate yourself. So what that means is this. The person who is the protagonist number one who needs encouragement isolates himself. The person who is protagonist number two, who offers encouragement, isolates themselves. That means, in the scheme of things, everybody loses. The person who doesn't show up, and because, for whatever reason, who's meant to be the encourager, and the person who needs encouragement. So, if you and I do not turn up, there's the possibility that somebody else might be missing out on the encouragement that you give. You might be missing out on the encouragement that you need. So, the question is the question of isolation. Where, as human beings, we want to stay away from people, sometimes when we're feeling a bit down, that's the default. Like, look, I just don't want to talk to anybody. Now, that's fine if you want to rest, but if it becomes like a default all the time, then it becomes a bit of a challenge for you and for the person who you're meant to encourage. Now, so we see the life of Elijah here. In this portion of scripture, he was the person who needed encouragement. And God, because God couldn't find anybody around him, God himself had to come to him. God himself had to come. He said, if I don't come, this man, I don't know where he's going to turn up. So God came to him. Now, what relevance is that to us in this age and time? Well, it's relevant to us because in Hebrews that we read, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. So, what am I saying this morning? What I'm saying this morning is this. You should turn up for the meetings that we have as a church. Turn up on the Sunday. It's, a couple of hours a week? If you can, turn up. Turn up on the Monday. Online. Just like switch on. Even if you want to go off camera. I had this meeting at work a long time ago. In my office. And we're all on Teams. And I said, guys, I was organizing the meeting for my team. I said, people, everybody had their cameras off. I had mine on. I said, look, let's turn on our cameras. I hardly see you guys anyway. Let's make it a habit, you know. Everybody, let's turn on our cameras. The cameras started going on. Just the guys. The women. I said, aren't you guys? They said, they need notice that they can't just turn on their cameras. That they need notice. That they didn't know they were going to turn on their cameras. So I said, I apologize. Next time. So if you come onto the meeting and you want to turn off your camera, it's fine. We won't insist. So the women now said, don't you know we have to put on? Because I kid with them quite a lot. We have to put on our, look nice, put on our makeup, for the men, we just go to the bathroom, water in hand, psh, you're ready. You just turn up to the meeting. So what am I saying? I'm encouraging us as a church that, look, let us turn up. Let us turn up. The reason is this. You might say, when I come to church, I don't talk to anybody. I just eat the tea and biscuits. Listen to Pastor Benson's nice acoustic guitar playing, and I'm done. Okay, I get that. But do you know that there are times that someone comes to church and they're going through a lot, not all the time, and you just come to that individual and it's like, how are you doing? Hope your week was good. You know what? Is really nice to see you this morning. Really good to see you. And that's all you've done. But maybe when that person was coming to church that day, they felt that nobody cares about me. Nobody even asks how I am. Nobody asks how my week has been. And God, I'm really tired. And you just turn up and you're like, good morning, how are you doing? How was your week? And that was the thing that they were saying nobody does. To you, it's like a simple question, right? But that person goes away and they're like, at least someone cares about me. And that's all you have done. You have not sang in the choir. You have not, that's all you've done. But that little thing in quote that you've done has gone a long way to encouraging someone who is discouraged. So if you didn't turn up that Sunday and nobody said anything to that individual, what would their week be like? Now, please, let's understand, I'm not trying to make us feel guilty by saying, I don't like it. In fact, when people start like telling me, you need to, I'm like, what's all that about? No, I'm not trying to make us feel guilty to come to church on a Sunday or to turn up to meetings. No, I'm not. At least I think you guys should know by now that I don't do that. But I am just bringing into our awareness that, look, you and I have a part to play in encouraging one another, as the Bible says here. And there are times that you need to be encouraged as well. So irrespective of where you are, I believe if you're not working and you're tired and all that, that's fine. But try and give it time. Turn up. Turn up. That's what I'm saying. Turn up. So, summarizing, looking at the question of isolation and the encouragement of the saints, I've looked at two main scriptures this morning. The second one I didn't really go into, I just read it. So the first one we looked at is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that says, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. So you turning up encourages the person who is next to you. You need encouragement as well. And if you ever feel the sense that, look, I just want to stay away from church for a bit to sort myself out, I would advise that maybe you should reconsider that decision, because you do not want to be in a position where you are on your own, by yourself, all the time. Yes, you can take time out, but turn up. And as you turn up, God knows what he needs to do to encourage you. It might be by the comment someone makes. It might be by the teaching. It might be by the worship. It might be by the Bible study. But God will speak something through some means in that context to encourage you. And it might be that you being present will encourage somebody else as well. So what I'm saying here is this. We all have a part to play. Nobody is irrelevant. Everyone is important, because you could either be protagonist A, the person who needs encouragement, or protagonist B, the person who gives encouragement even without knowing it. Do we understand? So I'm going to end there today. Next Sunday, I'll try and highlight this again, because it's something that I think is really important, that we need to bear in mind, that we're all part of this body. We need each other. Do you understand? And I believe that as we take that to heart, God will really help us. So this morning, I'm just going to ask that we rise and we'll pray. You know, this morning, I just want us to pray, then I'll pray for us, that life can be a bit challenging. And the truth of the matter is this. We all need encouragement. The Bible says that God is the God of all comforts who encourages us. The Bible says also in Hebrews, it says that we do not have a high priest, talking about Jesus, who is oblivious of what we're going through. Do you understand? He says that. So what that means is that Jesus isn't just looking at you and saying, try harder by yourself. No. He's concerned about you. Do you understand? So this morning, I just want us to pray. The first one I'll ask us to do is like a personal prayer for you. And just whatever it is that is in your heart, Jesus sees and Jesus knows. Tell him about it this morning. And just say, you know, I think for me, I'm really honest with God. There are times I tell God, I say, look, I'm tired. I feel like going to Dubai for 2 months because I'm just, and when times are good, I'm like, God, thank you. So this morning, you just want to take a minute to talk to Jesus this morning and just say, look, these are the things that are on my mind. These are my concerns. Let him hear your voice this morning. So that's a personal prayer between you and Jesus this morning. Immortal, invincible, God only wise. We're gathered as your church this morning. Your word says in Hebrews, you're not oblivious of the things that we face. Thank you for not being oblivious of those things. Father, we ask that you look into our hearts, even the things that are unspoken in our hearts. Father, I'm asking you, the Bible says, who is the God of all comforts? Bring comfort to every heart this morning. Father, for those that are not even here as well, bring comfort to their hearts. And Father, even as we've looked at Hebrews chapter 10, 25 this morning, that says we should not forsake our gathering together. Help us to have a revelation of what it means to gather together, to pray together, to encourage one another. Give us that understanding that we are important. The eye cannot say, I do not need the hand. The hand can't say, I do not need the eye. We all have a part to play in this body. Bring us that understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, this morning I pray for everyone that is here and everyone that is not even here at this point. I pray encouragement in the name of Jesus. I pray strength. Your word says in Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, it says, it is not by power, it is not by might, but by your spirit. Father, I pray strength into every single one of us in the name of Jesus. Father, for those who might be feeling that they have lost something, this morning I was praying and I saw someone, and the person was in a place of tiredness. I looked at the person and the person was looking back at me, and it was like in a place of tiredness. Father, I speak into that life in the name of Jesus, that you bring strength back to that person in the name of Jesus. I also saw someone as well. It was like the person left something on the bus and the bus took away that thing that you left. And that thing was so crucial. And the person was going around in the bus station and say, I left my bag on the bus. How am I going to get it back? For that person who maybe in your life, you took a decision that caused you to find yourself and to find your place in a place of regret, a place that was saying, how am I going to get this thing back? How I wish I had not been so forgetful. How I wish I had made this move at this particular time. How could I have forgotten to do this thing? Now, I don't know how I'm going to do it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, it says that God makes everything work out for good for those who love him. And for that person, what I'm saying to you this morning by the Spirit of God is that everything, every decision that you forgot to make, the Bible says, God says he can make it right, even if you forgot to do that thing. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you will bring new opportunities to this situation, that that individual will find even greater opportunities than the ones that they think they missed. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.